Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development. The hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to
Syntax.
Oh, it's your turn. Sorry. go ahead, Scott.
Welcome. Yeah, let's take this from the top. Welcome to Syntax on this Monday hasty treat. We're going to be talking about some cool new CSS features, and these are going to blow your mind a little bit. You know, every time CSS comes out with something new, it blows my mind. This is CSS logical properties, and this is largely going to address some of the issues that we've had with positioning things in the current web and how it's changed to be a greater, more modern web. My name is Scott Tolinsky, and with me, as always, is Wes Boss.
Hey, everybody. Let's talk about today's sponsor real quick before we get into it. Today's sponsor is Hasura, which is an open source real-time GraphQL engine. So it sits on top of a Postgres database, even an existing database or a brand new one, and it allows you to create a GraphQL API right on top of it. They've got all kinds of stuff for deploying to Heroku or to AWS or Docker. Scott and I actually saw this at Reactathon, and they did they had 8 minutes or something, like a lightning talk, and they built an entire GraphQL API in that time and had it up and running. And the thing scales really cool. Like, they have this example where they just slam it with traffic and it auto scales itself, which is pretty nifty. So you're looking to check out a GraphQL API that sits on top of Postgres. Check it out. Hasura. It's Hasura.io. Hasura.io. Thanks so much to them for sponsoring.
Cool. So let's get into this brand new CSS thing that has just sort of come to the attention of developers here. And this is going to be changing the way that we really think about and use properties within CSS. I think one of the first things you learn in CSS is the standard sort of box model. You have your top, left, right, bottom, and you think of those.
Trouble.
And you largely think of those as this vertical, this space that exists in a left to right world, an up to down world, and it's always margin top, margin left, or padding left, padding top, whatever. But if you think about it, the web has evolved in so many different ways. There's a ton of different languages. I mean, you think about Japanese can go from the top to the bottom, and you have right to left languages. You have all sorts of different ways that language and just in general content is used on the web in should be, you know, should have been used this way from the start, probably. But in 2019, 2020, we're given the opportunity to sort of fix some of these issues or things that prevented us. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had to work on a right to left text website before. We didn't bother with the top to bottom text or anything like that, but I've had to work on a left to right text website, and it was not easy. We had a bunch of classes toggling all sorts of things that, you know, you had to add a right to left class on a paragraph or whatever that would, you know, send it over to the other side. And everything felt hacky and just totally not easy.
Yeah, I've never had to do that myself. But we said the same thing when we talked about the new INCL methods. If you use this stuff out of the gate, when it comes time to translating your website to something that reads in a different direction, it's going to be much easier to do that. And also, like, just thinking about like sharing CSS as well, that the people who you're sharing the CSS with, it doesn't really matter which language they're coding it in because it will just work with them. I should say, for all of the content, I'd got up and running with sort of this blog post from Elad Schechter, and he's got this amazing blog post that just like details all of it. So we're going to link that in the show notes.
Yeah, this is a good post.
And then I also just like took a look at his Medium, and man, there's some fantastic content here. So like we talk about like how do you stay up to date? Well, I'm going to be reading Elad Schechter's Medium now. I just followed him on Twitter, which is E-L-A-D-S-C. And also, I had found out about this initially from a tweet from Adam Argyle. Argyle? Argyle? How do you think you say that?
I don't know.
think it's Argyle.
I don't want to embarrass myself here. I'll let you embarrass yourself.
He's a dev rel for CSS at Google. And I just recently started following him on Twitter as well. And he's got some bangers of like how to keep up to date. So he is Argyleink, Argyle Inc. on Twitter. Make sure you follow those two, because I think that's a perfect example. Like, how do you stay up to date? You find these people who are in the trenches and surfacing it.
Yeah, seriously. Well, okay, so let's talk about some of the differences here in some of these techniques and CSS properties, because what this is basically new CSS properties that are going to give us a more flexible system for working with just sort of positioning, spacing, the box model in general. Because when you, let's look at some like little groundwork in here. If you've used Flexbox, you know that Flexbox doesn't think of things as top left, right, bottom. They don't think of it as that. It's flex start, it's flex end, right? Whether it's a column or a row, you have the start and end properties. And so that's kind of key to thinking about some of these things, because again, your website might change left to right, up to down, whatever, based on what is the direction that this thing should be rendered in. So what we have here, in the past, we would have something like margin right. And so margin right in a left to right, up to down world would now become margin inline start. Okay, so sort of like flex start, flex end, margin inline start. Now that inline bit does not correlate to left right. It correlates to the inline flow of your document. So if you have an understanding of the standard block inline, where a block direction versus an inline direction, right? You have the block start and you have the inline start. So in an up to down, left to right, you now have a margin inline start and a margin block start. So a margin block start is going to be a margin, or in the past would have been margin top. So margin top becomes margin block start. Margin left becomes margin inline start. Okay. And so you're going to want to check out this blog post, because it's a very visual thing to try to realize here. And it is a little bit more heavy syntactically, I think, via the language. And it's not necessarily as explicit. It's a little bit more abstract. But if you've ever encountered any of these problems, you'll appreciate these changes.
Yeah, I think people are going to not like this initially, because it's there's a whole rethink. You have to think, okay, I want top, but now how do I translate that into the new thing? And I honestly think that it will just take a little bit to sort of retrain your brain, because like I don't think of like flex align left. I just think of flex align start, flex align end. So to sort of simplify this, we can break it down into two things. You have block and inline. And if we are just coming at it from an English website, block is going to be your top and bottom, and inline is going to be your left and right. So if you go and inspect an element on a page and then add a quick CSS property that says border-block 2px solid green, what that will do is it will put a green border on the top and the bottom. And then if you say border-inline, it will do the same thing, but put a border on the left and the right. So by default, block is the top and the bottom, and inline is the left and the right. And then you can also go a little bit further by using start and end added to those by just attaching them onto the end. So border block start would be the top border, border block bottom would be the bottom, and then the opposite for inline.
Yeah. So it's funny, because if you're listening to this in your car or something, I think you're at a little bit of a disadvantage. You might want to
put your hands in the air.
Yes. You might want to put this episode on again while reading and looking at this blog post, because again, this is such a visual thing, and it affects everything from margin, border, padding, whatever. But we also end up having this block size, inline size stuff in our content area. So the entire box model, as we know it, is not really necessarily different. It's just not orienting it by default it's not orienting it in a top to bottom, left to right manner anymore. It's orienting it in whatever that may be, whatever the greater context of the rendering of the application will be. And this will lead to all sorts of really cool application uses, but it's also going to fill in for those languages and areas where the top to bottom, left to right, whatever that we're saying over and over again, isn't the way that things are done. And so far, it's been very difficult to do. It's been very, very difficult to do. And hopefully this is going to make some people's applications feel much better in all parts of the world.
So another thing that it is going to change in addition to all of the box model stuff. So box model is what? Padding, margin, and border. Yeah. Is width and height can now be defined as inline size and block size. So inline size would be your width and block size would be your height, assuming it's an English thing. I'm curious, do you think that this is going to replace width and height, or do you think people are gonna be like, that's too hard?
I think that's the intent, right? The intent for this is to make the tools there by default and to turn this into the way that we do things rather than like, that's what I'm getting from this. You know, it's funny because it mirrors so closely Flexbox and Grid to me that I think that if developers look at this as being the old way versus the new way, then they're not going to like it. But if they look at it as like the old way versus the Flexbox way or something, then they might like it a little bit more because they've already had that experience with the whole Flex Start, Flex End thing. I mean, this affects all sorts of things, even from text alignment. Like you can do text align start instead of left, right? So you're no longer thinking left to right. You're thinking text align start, text align end.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Floats too. Yeah. Float, inline start, inline end are the properties. I kind of wish those were just start and end too, but you know, I don't know. I think all of this stuff is probably still fluid. Do you know the status of how button downed everything is here?
I think it's pretty button down. CSS logical properties. It's in working draft right now. So it's not done, but it's in the latest Edge. It's in the latest everything. Yeah.
What? It's in the latest everything.
Every browser has implemented this. Wow.
And this is like the first time I think I've really heard of it is there was a, it's really this blog post, this conversation is about it on Twitter, but I haven't heard about it until like a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Me neither. I had not heard of it at all. I'm just trying to think, like, I'm going back to this width and height one. Like, is there languages that are like rotated 90 degrees?
Yeah. Japanese.
What Japanese is?
Top to bottom.
So in Japan, it's top to bottom instead of really. Oh, okay.
It's
so,
top to bottom and right to left. In fact, the books that you have, like when you have a hardcover book in Japan, it's the opposite. The spine of the book is on the right and you flip through it like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah. Because I took Japanese for a year in college and I've been to Tokyo a couple of times. And, you know, so I have a little bit of experience reading Japanese, especially in that format. And it took a little while to get used to, obviously. But once you get used to it, it's pretty neat.
So if I have a sheet of paper in front of me and I wrote Japanese on it, the first sentence would go from the top right down.
Correct.
And then the second sentence would be top right, one over and down.
Yeah. And you
that's wild.
It is wild. you can also, I mean, you will also see Japanese written left to right as well. And especially in situations like manga or comic books, but you see it mostly vertical, or at least that's the way traditionally it's always been. And that's the way you'll see a lot of books written and things like that. I honestly don't know what the status of what is left to right versus what is up and down, but from what I understand it, it's typically vertical like that.
And then like you have Microsoft Word in Japan. How does it decide when to wrap it?
I don't know. I think Microsoft Word in Japan probably does left to right. I don't know though, to be honest.
Wow. That's wild. I had no idea.
We had to write a fair bit of stuff in Japanese in my class on the computer. And so you can write Japanese on your computer just by changing the text input right now on your MacBook Pro.
Okay.
And I used to have to do that all the time. And you would just type in Japanese, like, you know, if I was going to, what's a good word. If I was going to, you know, just type konnichiwa, right? Just a standard Japanese word, right? You would type it as if you were typing the English characters out and the computer translate those into the correct characters.
Wow.
But it doesn't do, I don't think it does vertical like that. So who knows? I honestly have never tried to do anything web top write down ever in my entire life. I think that would be fascinating.
I think that would be like a cool YouTube video, just like maybe even a cool YouTube series of like, here's how someone who's blind uses a website. Here's someone who has Japanese as a first language uses a website. And here's how they switch between. Like, that would be like, if you want to like have a really cool YouTube channel, it's free. I'll let you go and take it. Go and build that. That'd be really cool to see.
Yeah, do it.
So that's it. Just remember, block is top and bottom.
This is for English.
What's the other one? Inline is left and right. Yeah. And that's the thing about it's the same with Flexbox, is that everything changes as soon as you change the flex direction, right? And then everything is off on the, because it's a column and a row are the opposite, and it's kind of confusing. But I don't know. I think it's pretty rare for people to have to switch all that often unless you're doing multiple language sites. So check it out. Let us know if this will help you as a developer. I know lots of you who listen do multi-language websites. So I'd love to hear what you think about this and how excited you are to use it.
Totally. Yeah, this is fascinating here. I'm very interested. I want to see some examples of people who are using this in any sort of meaningful way already, because that's it's supported.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. We will catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.